Good morning. Thank you, Doug and Wendy and Keith and Chris and all who have participated today and our wonderful sound crew there. Thank you for making this again a great Sunday to be here at Roslyn Ridge. Yes, I am featuring Ross Red today in my tie color. My last Sunday here, his return from El Salvador. I have a couple of good friends who call me and ask me where I'm speaking as I crisscross Southern Ontario on Sundays to sort of pray about all of those things, and I really appreciate that. And every now and again, they'll ask, well, where are you going? I'm going to Roslyn Ridge. Oh, yeah, okay. Who do you know there? What's the connection there? I said, well, I know a lot of people there, a lot of great folks there. My aunt and uncle go there. And matter of fact, they named the church after him. It's going to be pretty significant. Disneyland, Roslyn, anyway. I'm kidding. Some of you never thought of that till now, probably, did you? Just kidding, but it is great. Not kidding about the part. It's been great to be here, and hard to believe a month has come and gone, and we are going to conclude my contribution to this series entitled Hall of Fame Faith this morning by considering some thoughts on Abraham. We have considered Abel, Enoch, and Noah, and now as we just progress through Hebrews chapter 11, we come to the character Abraham. And again, the challenge this week was what to focus on, and there's so much that we could consider, but we're going to consider a very short part of Abraham's life this morning, and I hope that it'll be an encouragement to you as it has been to me. Turn your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11, and for the sake of time, let's just begin to read at verse 8, our key text, pardon me, is verse 6. Chris talked about the need to put the Lord's Word in our hearts, in our minds. Well, Hebrews 11:6 is a place you could start. We've been talking a lot about that. Great focus verse. There we read, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God, the ESV says, must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek Him. We come down to verse 8. Verse 7 talks about Noah. We considered last week, this week. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Turn, please, back to Genesis chapter 17, where we will focus this morning as we consider Abram, first of all, and Abraham, secondly. Genesis 17, verses 1 to 5. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. We'll keep reading. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And the Lord will bless to us the reading of His word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that you have allowed us to open this morning. We thank you that we live in a land where we can publicly do this. And we pray that as we do so, your spirit would have liberty and speak to our hearts and our minds. Teach us, Father, what it is we need to know this day. We come to you seeking our daily bread. We thank you for the physical food we have had this day. But Father, we come to you now looking for spiritual food to meet every need. We thank you for each one who's here. Speak to us now, we pray, Lord, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. In October of last year, my wife's aunt, Ina Baird, maybe known to some of you folks, certainly maybe some of you Scottish folks, John and Ina Baird are my wife's aunt and uncle. John passed away a couple of years ago, and for the last few years, Aunt Ina has been at Bethany, and she struggled with her health. And Sue and I, they didn't have any kids of their own, Sue and I were sort of their carekeepers. and caregivers. And so with the help of wonderful people like Dr. Ted, who's not here today, we need to be praying for him, but we kind of kept an eye on Aunt Ina. And her real name is Anne, A-N-N-E, Anne Pollock Baird, good Scottish name. But from a little kid, one of her brothers, either my father-in-law or one of the other brothers, couldn't say Anne or Annie, and with their Scottish accent, this little kid just came up with Ina. So she's only been known to us as Ina. And so when we started to take over for her in sort of an official capacity, people would call me and talk about Anne, and I didn't know who they were talking about. Right, she had this name change. But as she really kind of began to regress, and often when I would go in on Saturday morning, she really didn't know who it was. It was hard to have a conversation. In the last little while, there was really no conversation at all. But I would sometimes get a spark out of her when I would go into Bethany and she'd be there sort of in her wheelchair or in her room and sort of usually just pretty much out of it. But I would come into her and I would kind of with a loud voice say, "Ann P. Baird, Mr. Ward is here to see you." And she would kind of startle to attention. My last conversation with her about a week before she passed away, that was the exact scenario. Saturday morning I went, and there she was, comfortable but pretty much out of it. And I walked up to her, and it was, "Ann P. Baird, Mr. Ward's here to see you." And she just kind of came to, and she looked at me, and our last conversation was, "It's Ina." Right? She had a name change, and it stuck. We're reading about somebody this morning who had a name change. We're going to read about Abram, who then became Abraham. And as we come to verse 1 in Genesis chapter 17, we find that when Abraham, or Abram, was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. Boy, what a great place to start this morning. He was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abraham. See, the point is that regardless of how old we are, regardless of what stage of life we are at, the wonderful message is God desires a relationship with you, and God desires to use you in His service. And as we've talked about Hall of Fame faith, some people come to me and say, "Oh, Dan, I can't do what I used to do." Talking to, you know, my uncle knows who went down to El Salvador, lasted a while. They accomplished a lot. People went, and what they were able to do, they accomplished a lot. Maybe it wasn't what they once were able to do. You know, maybe we're not able to climb and scale trees like my uncle's been able to do a lot of and cut down trees. You know, things change. But what do we have that we can contribute? There's a gentleman I know, I think he's 92, and he's going on a work party in the next couple of weeks from a church that I go and speak at, right? And can't do what he used to do, but boy, he got a great way to contribute. And he says it's never too late to perform at a level that would make you a Hall of Famer. It's never too late. I was reading some news articles, and I came across a woman who I hadn't heard of. If you're a track and field fan, you may have heard of Barbara Howard. Barbara Howard was an amazing runner and sprinter in our country. And certainly this is before the days of Harry Jerome and people like Desi Williams and Ben Johnson and, you know, all the great runners that have come through our ranks. She was just recognized back in the fall and entered into the British Columbia Sports Hall of Fame as one of our great runners, Barbara Howard. She's 93 years old. And there she is, one of our first African-American runners back in the early years who went and represented our country worldwide, won all kinds of medals, and was an amazing athlete. But it took till she was 93 to sort of enter the Hall of Fame. It's never, ever too late. And we're reminded about that right at the outset of our passage this morning. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. In fact, the Lord identified himself very clearly with this statement as we read, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty." There was no confusion who was communicating here. "Abram, I am God Almighty." No confusion. Right out of the outset of this communication, it was clear who was speaking to Abram. "I am God Almighty." That title used here is that great Hebrew phrase, El Shaddai. A name of God that certainly highlights His invincible power. And as amazing as this was for Abraham, we need to realize that Almighty God has communicated to us. He's communicated to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He continues to speak to us through His Word. Friend, the Scriptures are more than just a wonderful collection of history and stories and interesting information. This, friend, is the word of Almighty God, El Shaddai. Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Do you want to put something in your head and your heart as we're just encouraged this morning? Be a word hider. Do it right here. This contains the word of Almighty God. You think Abram was sort of paying attention? I am God Almighty. Have you ever met someone who was pretty influential and powerful? One of the things I've shared with you before is one of the nice things about playing golf, which I do from time to time, is the people you meet. And I've met all kinds of interesting people. Down in the States once, three of us playing, one individual joined us as the fourth and played 10 years in the catcher for the Cleveland Indians in Major League Baseball. Very interesting guy, back in the 60s, fascinating guy, 4 hours of great stories, right? It's very interesting. And you meet all kinds of people. I met one man once, this is again down in the States, my brother-in-law, my Doug and Barnes, know many of you, my father-in-law, we were playing, and again a fourth was added to our group. And right away, this guy seemed to be a guy of influence, kind of a guy of power. And that became kind of clear. You can kind of tell pretty quick. And interesting guy suggested, I had Brandon, my son, was like one at the time. He said, you know, when your son graduates from college, you got to do what I just did. You take a bit of time off and just go and play the 100 best golf courses in the United States. That kind of makes for a fun trip. Money, yeah. Connections to get in all those private clubs. He did it. I thought, well, okay, this guy's a bit of a roller, right? Nice guy. The front nine I played, I was awful. I didn't play well at all. But on the back nine, I kind of came alive. And it kind of got his attention. At the end, we're in the parking lot. He says, you know, he says, I'm a member at a club in just kind of outside Washington, D.C. He said, that's where I live. And I live in Alexandria, just kind of outside the big city there. And, you know, if you're ever in the area, I'd be glad to have you come and play at my club. See, he wasn't interested if I was really lousy, but because I played okay, maybe I had a chance now. And he asked me his business card. And his business card was, he's the founder of the Bank of Alexandria. So we're President's Bank, this guy's in charge. Interesting guy, right? And as a result, had all these connections, could go to any club, play anywhere, do whatever he wanted. Man of kind of power, man of influence. Some of you may have been very interested, as Aunt Dina was. Aunt Dina was, being a Scottish individual, loved the royal family, right? Even when I went to clean out her room after she passed away, I'm still finding mugs with royal, you know, family memorabilia, books, all that kind of stuff. She loved the royal family, and you know how it is. If you ever have opportunity to interact with the Queen or anybody like that, you basically have to take a course to know how to respond to them. So there's actually a website on what you need to know if you're going to interact with royalty. The Queen, for example, was called Your Majesty initially, and then Ma'am as the conversation continues. The Duke of Edinburgh is called Your Royal Highness initially, and Sir as the conversation continues. We read that a man is to bow when he comes to the gate. You're to bow from the neck down. Don't bow from the waist. That's wrong. Just from the neck down. Women are to curtsy. It's to be your right foot behind your left heel. Like, this is the detail you are versed on if you have opportunity to meet anybody related to the royal family. I kind of read a funny story that I came across in my collection. Neil Martin, important word in this, Neil Martin, a member of the British Parliament, was once giving a group of his constituents a guided tour of the Houses of Parliament. During the course of the visit, the group happened to meet Lord Helsham, then Lord Chancellor, wearing all the regalia of his office. Helsham recognized Martin among the group and cried, "Neil!" Not daring to question or disobey the command, the entire band of visitors promptly fell to their knees. These are people of influence, people with power. And when you're in their presence, we are to interact in a very specific way. What was it that the Almighty God had to say to Abram when he appeared to him? He kind of expected the ground to shake. What were the words that were going to be shared? We're not talking about royalty here. We're not talking about people of, you know, political or financial power or influence. We're talking about El Shaddai, Almighty, all-powerful God. What do you expect would come Notice our text in Genesis 17. What did the Lord say? Abram, walk with me? Really? Walk with me. Walk before me. Or as I discovered this morning in my late study time, as I always do, walk with me on an ongoing basis. Not just a little stroll. It means stay with me. Are you serious? Almighty God? I mean, we're expecting lightning bolts and commandments and all of that. What do we get? Abram, walk with me. I don't know about you, but that's not exactly what I kind of had in mind or expected would follow. The Lord introduces himself as God Almighty, then says, walk with me. I find this to represent a beautiful blend of God's character. Yes, on the one hand, he is Almighty God and should be reverenced and revered as such, and yet he desires that we walk with him. Almighty God desires a relationship with us. As we bring this down to a human level, because that just helps us sometimes identify with it. Have you ever been around people who are influential, have a certain degree of power, I'll use that word carefully, but are just such wonderful people, and they care about you as an individual? That's very refreshing, and it's pretty unique. I was talking to a colleague at school last week, and every year there's a school reunion. This individual is my age, so school reunion. You would expect it to be, you know, university, college, maybe high school. No, it's public school. It's a public school reunion that happens every year. And it happens because of an amazing principal. He was a man who made an impression on these people when they were 6 and 7 years old. And now as individuals in their 50s, they still get together with this wonderful man who's in his 90s because they loved him so much. Oh, he was in charge. There was no question about who was in charge of that school, but he cared and he loved and he showed kindness to each and every one of these individuals to the point where they still love to get together with him. He calls them. He appears at their father's funeral services and mom's funeral services still. It's an incredible story. What do the kids think of Mr. Ward? You know, sometimes it's Mr. Warden is what I get a lot of. But is there a balance to it? Or is he just the guy with the whistle in the gym who kind of expects some control here? Is there a balance to it? As a teacher, certainly one person who I've been very impressed with and been around a little bit was also our greatest Canadian quarterback, Russ Jackson. I first met Russ Jackson. He was principal of a high school my very first year, 27 years ago. I took a team into his school at the time for a little competition that day. And as we walked in, it was the beginning of the school day. And all I saw when I walked in the building with my, you know, kind of group of hooligans here was this principal, Russ, he kind of came out of his office. He just stood in the middle of the school like this. Morning, Mr. Jackson. Morning, Mr. Jackson. Morning, Ted. Morning, Fred. Morning, Mary. Morning. And people just went, ping, 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 ping. Right? Going where they needed to be. Not going to be late. And I thought, whoa. We know who the sheriff in town is here, don't we? Right? And then as I kind of continued throughout the morning with my guys, I was in the gym, it was lunchtime, and I looked across the gym, and what did I see? There's Russ Jackson, the Hall of Fame quarterback, shirt and a t-shirt, took off the suit, took off the tie, in there working with some hard-to-serve kids lifting weights with him. You see? Oh, he was in control. But man, he cared about people. And I was around him when he opened a new school. He worked for a year at the school I work in, the game and office where I worked. And just such a unique individual, had a presence that represented, you know, who's in charge. But boy, this wonderful person that cared about people. Almighty God says to Abraham, walk with me. Walk with me. Speaking of the royal family, I was speaking to a friend yesterday. Who, a guy my brother and I have played golf with, believe it or not, for almost 40 years. And he's quite known as a very good golfer. And he fortunately has done very well and belongs to a nice golf club and is really gracious and kind to us and lets us play with him from time to time. And He was invited a couple years ago to play in the Prince of Wales Cup. And an interesting invitation. And it happened to be a day where, at a beautiful golf course, where he, and I don't know how many people are competing that day, but he won. Well, the prize was, one of the prizes was, you and your wife were flown over to England. You now join other winners of the Prince of Wales Cups, which take place all over the world, and you're kind of playing for the championship on the royal family's private golf course, and then there's a reception for you with the royal family after. Kind of a nice little prize, right? Neat experience. So he was sharing the story that I just found this part of it out, because I've always offered to be his caddy when I retire. We can kind of get to some neat places. But he was sharing the story that after the tournament had been played, they were at this dinner. He and his wife had spent a considerable, I think about an hour, being versed, as was everybody else, on how you interact if you happen to have a chance to interact with the royal family. And so there he is at this reception. He's got a group of people around him. He's telling a story, telling a golf story. And as he's telling his story, he notices at the corner of his eye this elderly gentleman, kind of hunched over, walking up to him. Well, who is it? Prince Philip. Okay, now what do I do? Do I stop talking? Do I do the whole bow thing from the neck? What do I do? Well, what did he happen? Well, don't stop the story on account of me. How'd that end? There he was. He wanted to be involved in the conversation. He really wanted just to be treated like one of the guys. He said it was an amazing thing. You know, somebody with cool power, but cared about people. And in that interaction he had, he was just so impressed with this person being so down to earth and interested in relationship. As Almighty God appears to us today in His Word, His desire is exactly the same when it comes to each one of us as it was with Abraham. Walk with me. Almighty God desires a relationship with each and every one of us. In fact, He wanted this so much, He sacrificed His Son to make it possible. Do you know what it is to walk with God? Do you have a relationship with God? Almighty God, El Shaddai, calls down to you today, speaks to your heart today like He spoke to Abraham all those years ago. And He says, I desire to walk with you. Will you walk with me? I desire a relationship with you. And that is possible because I sent my Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, and He shed His blood for you. And through faith, through taking God at His word, believing God, trusting God, being confident that what God said is true, by faith, we accept Jesus Christ's shed blood on the cross as punishment for sin, yes, but more importantly, for my sin. God desires, God Almighty, El Shaddai desires a relationship with you, and He desires that you walk with Him. If Abraham accepts this invitation to walk by faith with the Lord, what can he expect? Well, the Lord continues in verse 2, and He says this, "Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers." When faith in God is exercised, tremendous blessings result. Our sins are forgiven, our relationship with God is restored, and eternal life is secured. And like Abraham, we will greatly increase in number. Now for Abraham and Sarah, this covenant meant biological numbers. For us, the prospect is the number of lives we can impact and influence for good. Because a Hall of Fame life of faith makes a difference in the lives of other people. Oh, it's great to be known as somebody who can throw a touchdown pass, score a goal, hit a baseball, whatever it might be. But friend, the Hall of Fame of Faith is filled with people who have made a huge difference in the lives of other people. God promises to bless when we accept His invitation of relationship. When we accept His invitation to walk with Him, we can live lives that make a difference for others. We can make a difference in the lives of people that will last forever. Is that something that interests you? I was given a book by a colleague at school that he was given at Christmas. Paul Henderson's latest book, The Goal of My Life. I ran into Paul Henderson crazy 3 days after that guy gave me the book to read. We don't know each other. We've interacted a few times at a funeral, happened to see each other. And I was just, you know, talking to him a bit about the goal of his life. And of course, we as, you know, my age still, those of us of my generation, the greatest goal of all time is Paul Anderson's goal in 1972, the greatest sporting event that I have ever encountered in my life. And that was a huge deal, right? I was in Mr. Eason's grade 6 class. Fortunately, Mr. Eason was an athlete and had one of the two televisions in the entire school, and so his classroom had one of those televisions. Because I was a tall kid, I was always in the back of the room, but, you know, kind of small screen, not like what we have today, but I was able to watch that final game. I will never forget it the day I die. Amazing experience, and Paul Henderson scored that goal. But when you talk to Paul Henderson about the real goal of his life, as the book is all about, it's not about a hockey goal. It's about using the gifts and the opportunities that he has through faith in Jesus Christ to make a difference in other people's lives. How about you? How about me? Are you a difference maker? I mentioned earlier about Aunt Ina and Uncle John. They didn't have kids of their own, and yet the Lord blessed them and multiplied them time and time and time again. And as I conducted her funeral back in October, there were young adults there who wanted to be sure to come and pay their respects because they were little kids many years ago who came to an Awana program and who had the Word of God instilled in their hearts through Aunt Ina. And there they were as men and women, Christians, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the time she put in with them. It is interesting that they all sort of shared and recited God's Word with a Scottish accent. But that's what they learned. And they were there remembering and recounting stories of the difference that she made in their lives through instilling their hearts and minds with the Word of God. God greatly multiplied her and Uncle John over and over and over again. A month or two ago, my wife's at a conference 2 hours from here. And this individual was talking to her, I mean, her maiden name being Mary. This person was Scottish and saying, yeah, I'm Scottish. And she says, you probably know my aunt and uncle are. You probably know John Baird's Scottish Bakeries. I mean, everybody came from far and wide to get the goods from the Scottish bakery. And sure, of course. You know, used to go there and get their meat pies and their bread. And there was another colleague listening into this conversation, somebody in their 50s. Says, I know John and Ina Baird. They were kind of like community workers where I grew up. And the story goes on to tell this woman came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of what they did and representing his love in a community, a pretty tough community where this individual grew up. Isn't that amazing? Abraham, I'll greatly multiply you. Well, that was a biological promise to Abraham, but you know what? He promises to multiply us, use us to influence other people for him. What is the goal of your life? Do you want a life live that makes a difference and has eternal meaning? If so, walk with God. How did Abraham respond to this invitation from Almighty God to walk faithfully and blamelessly with him? Well, we read in our text next what? That Abraham fell face down. Abraham fell face down. And friend, this is where a Christian Hall of Fame life begins. It begins on our knees. Like this Hall of Famer, have you bowed your knee to Almighty God? Have you spiritually fallen on your face before God in acknowledgement of who you are and who He is? Have you by faith embraced His loving offer to walk with Him? This eternal reality is all possible through His Son, Jesus Christ. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He diligently rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I'd like to close this morning and close this series with a recitation, if you will, that came from a collection that Aunt Ina had. Just kind of concludes using her as an illustration this morning. She had a great mind. She and her brothers, three kids, they all had brilliant minds. And my father-in-law was, again, a surgeon, put that brain to work in terms of, you know, the work he did, and also theologically. You talk about God's Word in your heart. I've told you, I've never known anybody who could just sit there and just give him a chapter and he'll start quoting it to you. An amazing, almost photographic memory is what it seemed to me. But Aunt Ina had a wonderful mind. And what she was able to do, she had God's Word stored in her heart and her mind in an amazing way, like her brothers did. But she also had these stories, these recitations, that you couldn't ask her if you're at a social function to prepare to do one because she got too nervous. She was really kind of anxious about being in front of people. But But on the spot, you can say, Aunt Tina, do you have a reading for us tonight? And this is the kind of thing that she would have in her head. Now, I had to study this to read it to you properly. All right? But she passed on to me a collection like this of these readings she had. And at certain family functions or church functions, I remember being at things with her, like Christmas Eve, for example, service, and just kind of out of nowhere, you know, there's been a, Andy, do you want to tell us that storybook? So away she would go. Here's an example. This is entitled In Father's Arms. 3 days had Father been from home, and now the fourth had come. The day he bade them watch and wait for his returning home. And so today those little limbs are not a moment still. I cannot tell how oft that day they climbed the neighboring hill. I cannot tell how eagerly they watched each distant form or how they hoped each hour would bring their father's safe return. And so they watched, dear trustful hearts, the love light in their eyes confirm that father would come home ere night o'ercast the skies. And as they watched, the glorious sun rose higher overhead. Then as the hours crept on, it sank mid clouds of golden red. When hark, a step, a shout of joy, the children flock around. A tall man stoops and lifts a child, the youngest, from the ground. He folds her in his loving arms close to his rough-clad breast. And there the trustful little child lies still in perfect rest. Yes, she is safe in father's arms, and well the maiden knew that loving was her father's heart and father's love was true. Then came another suppliant with eager, wistful face that showed he had thought his sister had too long usurped that place. Come, sister, said the little lad, a frown upon his brow. You have been in there long enough. It must be my turn now. But listen to her answer sweet. She closer to him creeps, while round her form the loving arms a closer circle keeps. With tiny hands clasped round his neck, she turned her jet-black eyes full on her father's wistful, brother's wistful face, and laughingly replies, Yes, take me out of father's arms, just take me if you can. But at the thought, a few quick tears beneath her lashes ran. I can't, I am not strong enough, but still I think there's room for me in there as well as you. Say, Father, may I come? And into that safe, sheltering place, the little brother creeps, while round them both the tender arms a loving circle keeps. O struggling soul, if tempest tossed, if weary are thy feet, or if the world has lost its charm and bitter marred the sweet, if there is not in all this world to give thy spirit rest, why longer as an alien roam, come seek the Father's breast. There's room in his great heart of love for all and room for thee. There's rest within his loving arms if to that rest thou flee. Come saying to thine arms I come, come close to thy tender breast. Within the circle of thy love I fain would seek my rest. There like a little child to rest, safe from the world's alarms, safe though the earth's foundations rock in his eternal arms. I leave that with you to encourage your heart and to contemplate the truth we read this morning. The Lord said to Abraham, I am God Almighty. Walk with me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being with us today. We thank you for that amazing privilege that is ours to walk with you. We marvel that Almighty God desires a relationship with us, with me. And Father, I know there are times in my life where I stray from your side, stray from this circle of love that this reading describes. And I know it saddens you when I choose to walk away as opposed to walk towards. Father, we pray that you would draw each one of us nearer, still nearer to you. We pray that if there are any here who don't yet know what that means to walk with you by faith, who don't know a relationship with you, pray that today will be the day of salvation in their lives. For those of us who have that wonderful experience of knowing you as our Heavenly Father, who have by faith received and embraced Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, Father, we thank you for your invitation to draw nearer, to be closer. And we pray that we would commit to being the men, the women, the young person you've called us to be. Help us to grow in our faith. Help us to be people who put other people first, who care about others, who represent your love to those around us. Father, draw us closer to you, draw us closer to one another. We ask your special blessing upon each one who's here. We thank you for this month we've shared together. And Father, until we meet again, we ask your special blessing on each individual, each couple, each family that's represented here. We pray for the leadership here at Roslyn Ridge. Continue to bless them and use them so that this local assembly continues to be a bright light in this community. Father, we just thank you for all that you've done and for your love. Part us with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you. And I look forward to seeing you down the road. You are dismissed.